Iowans caucused last night, giving us the first real results in the long state-by-state road to the presidential nominations.
Tonight is a victory for courageous conservatives across Iowa and all across this great nation.
I will always work to achieve the America that I believe in, where the promise of that dream that we hold out to our children and our grandchildren never fades.
We finished second, and I want to tell you something. I'm just honored. I'm really honored.
And while the results are still not complete, it looks like we'll have about half of the Iowa delegates.
Just heard from Texas Senator Ted Cruz, then former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, both of whom claimed victory last night, then runners-up Donald Trump and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Joining us now to discuss last night's Iowa caucus is Don Gagne. He's national political correspondent for NPR, a familiar voice to our listeners. Don, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Glad to be here.
Well, in elections past, I think there's sometimes a tendency to overread Iowa, maybe draw too many lessons. Do you see that happening so far this time as people look at the results?
Oh, yeah. We always have to be careful of that. And here's the way I look at it. Yes, it was a great night for Ted Cruz. It was a great night when he really didn't need to have a great night, because imagine if he had finished second or third. People would be saying, well, if Cruz can't win Iowa, where can he win? So, a good night for Ted Cruz, but it doesn't necessarily predict anything for him going forward. Otherwise, we might have a President Rick Santorum now. He was the last winner of the Republican Iowa caucus. Or President Mike Huckabee, who was the winner 4 years before him. So that's Cruz. Donald Trump, it is a little bit of a reality check for Trump. We have seen the crowds he's drawing, and we've seen his poll numbers, but these are actual votes, actual people saying, yes, I support this person. And it's not that Donald Trump needed to win Iowa, but he wanted to win Iowa. And, just generally speaking, the mood around their campaign is that they expected to win Iowa, and they did. So reality check there. The one who it may be most meaningful for is the third place finisher, Marco Rubio. You say third place. Well, what does that get you? Well, it makes him the leading of the, so-called more mainstream Republicans. And it's not just that he finished ahead of Jeb Bush and John Kasich and Chris Christie and those others in the contest, but he far exceeded expectations if you look at what he did, 24, almost 25%, I think, with the final numbers, compared to the, 15% that he had in most recent polls. There's the preamble.
Well, Don, when our own Governor Scott Walker dropped out of the presidential race, he encouraged other more establishment candidates to drop out, unite around one, in effect, non-Donald Trump candidate. Do you see that maybe actually happening now? Some of those people who fell well behind Marco Rubio maybe going to bow out, try to unite around one candidate to displace Trump and Cruz?
Well, we did get late last night former Governor Mike Huckabee bowing out, suspending his campaign. Mm-hmm. And then we had Martin O'Malley on the Democratic side. But the Republican governors have been putting most of their energy into New Hampshire. John Kasich and Chris Christie weren't even in Iowa yesterday on the day of the Fox thing. They were already looking ahead to a week from today, the vote in New Hampshire. And Jeb Bush has also been spending most of his time in New Hampshire. So none of them are going to drop out before they get this chance to show their stuff in a state that is far less, evangelical, far less dominated by Christian conservatives on the Republican side. They want to see what they can do with New Hampshire, live free or die, kind of pro-business Republicans.
Before we move on from the Republicans in Iowa, a big turnout among evangelicals and other Republicans, record turnout, I think, which people thought is going to be good news for Donald Trump. Well, it kind of was, but Rubio and Cruz got a lot of those newcomers, too. So maybe, do you think Trump motivated a lot of people to show up and vote for him and a lot of other people to show up and vote against him?
I think that's a pretty fair theory. I've not you know, I've not had a chance to dive into some of the internals and the crosstabs on the entrance polls that were being conducted as people went in to vote. There was huge turnout, 180,000 Republicans when, you know, their previous record was a third less than that. So something drove them out. Certainly it was the really significant and well-organized ground game that Ted Cruz had. I did talk to people caucusing who had never caucused before, who were voting for Trump, and who were inspired by him and liked him and liked his attitude and liked his whole approach, his kind of take no prisoners, you know, nobody can buy me approach. So I think he certainly did turn new people out, but I think it's an excellent question. How many people did he inspire to get out to vote for somebody else?
Talking to Don Gagne from NPR News about the results from Iowa last night. And on the other side, this was a nail biter on the Democratic side. Hillary Clinton won, but not by much. And in the expectation game, that people are looking at this as a disappointment for the Clinton campaign, aren't they?
Yes, to some degree. But look, she gets to leave Iowa saying she won Iowa. It was by a whisker, and in a half dozen places, half a dozen precincts around the state, it was a coin toss that determined
literally
who that kind of extra odd delegate would go to, because it was essentially a tie. In a place where they have an odd number of delegates and it's a tie, like say they have 21 delegates, well, then Clinton would get 10 and Sanders would get 10, and they have to have some mechanism to decide who gets the one that's left over. Again, that's not in every precinct. It's not at every caucus site, but it was in about a half a dozen places, and that's when they would do the coin toss. And that really was the difference for her. But it allows Hillary Clinton to get on her plane, taxi down the tarmac at the Des Moines airport, and take off knowing that she won Iowa, even if it was by a whisker, and that's a lot better than losing Iowa by a whisker, because at that point she would be a two-time Iowa caucuses loser. So I guess that's the way to look at it. And the poll did show that it was close, so everybody expected it to be close.
New Hampshire a week off. They've got one of their neighbors there in Bernie Sanders, and he's doing pretty well in the polls. Hillary Clinton may be counting on South Carolina. What do you make of those two states?
New Hampshire, Senator Sanders does have, a bit of a home court advantage. It's not just that New Hampshire is right next to his state of Vermont. They're both small states, and they all get kind of the same TV stations and a lot of the same media and same radio and everything else. And people just know him up there, and he knows the place. So that does give him an advantage. And there is, a bit of a tradition in American politics for the home court advantage, meaning something. I don't know how much, but he's been polling really well there. So it is something that made Clinton getting that teeny teeny sliver of a victory, and it is a victory because she did get more delegates in Iowa. Even more important for her because she still have a harder time getting that in New Hampshire. And then you look ahead to South Carolina, where on the Democratic side there are a lot of African American votes, a lot of minorities, and those are voters that she has traditionally done well with, that she and her husband have done well with, if you go back many years. So it does feel like the advantage is hers when you get down there.
And Don, before I let you go, if I can inject a personal note, we've been talking about polls, reading tea leaves, signs, importance for a while now. As a guy who does this for a living, what's it like to have some real results to chew on?
Oh man, it's just like, oh, finally some numbers, finally some things that represent an actual voter, marking a piece of paper or at least standing up and being counted in the case of Iowa. Again, it's just one state. It's a small state. It's not a state that's representative of the rest of the country, but at least now we know we're actually counting votes, and we're going to get more to count in a week in New Hampshire.
And are you going to get some sleep tonight to make up for last night?
My flight, if I get out of here, because it's snowing here in Des Moines. Yeah, I mean, you're getting some bad weather there, too. I heard Noah's newscast. I hope I get out of here tonight. But either there or here, I will get some sleep. And maybe some of it will be on the tarmac and changing planes or something.
Well, Don, I don't want to keep you from beating the snow or getting sleep. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Keep up the good work there. And we'll see you guys, I guess, a couple of months or a month or so down the line. So
sounds good.
Get there. Okay.
That's Don Gagne, national political correspondent for NPR, bringing us up to date on last night's Iowa caucus and what's still to come.